Thank you guys for having us again. I know it was just a couple weeks ago that we stopped by and said hi to you guys and shared that we were having our annual benefit coming up, which was just a few weeks ago, and we had an outstanding benefit. It was such a blessing to the ministry of Teen Challenge to see over 200 people that have gotten behind. Carrie and I have gotten behind our vision, and you know, Carrie and I are only two people. It takes this entire city, it takes every church being involved and supporting this vision to get as far as we've gotten. And so I thank you guys for the part that you've played. Here in Las Vegas right now, the very first thing we did when we got here was Carrie had a vision for what she was calling the Recovery Engagement Center. And I still remember, you know, sitting up there talking to Pastor Randy and just kind of sharing, you know, yet again, another Teen Challenge story, another couple that's coming to start this Teen Challenge thing. But let me tell you, that man is faithful. He knew from the beginning that God was going to plant a Teen Challenge here, and he wasn't about to give up. So 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, it doesn't matter. He was willing to give us another chance. And we came out here, and right here on this campus, we started the Recovery Engagement Center, a place where anybody with any type of need could come in and receive some sort of help. On Wednesdays, we started doing breakfast. We did a chapel service, served lunch, had a time of fellowship. We were doing open group where people could come in and just, we picked a topic and people talked through it. And that grew into the need for a men's center. And let me tell you, furthest thing from my mind was that 1 year after being here in Las Vegas, that we would be opening up a center. That wasn't even in our plan for a while down the road. But God made the doors so clearly open right in front of us that we had no choice but to walk through. And 1 year ago, we opened up the men's center. And yeah, praise God. And here over the last probably 6 or 7 months, we've been full. 18 guys, 4 interns right now. And we're full. We've got pastors coming in and doing discipleship with them. We're there every single day. We're pounding the pavement to make this thing happen. And God is just pouring out his blessing on our ministry. And just to give you a little bit of a broader perspective, a lot of people ask, will you just take men here? We take everybody. Okay, Teen Challenge has 250 centers across the United States. And in our district alone, we can take women. Women with children, women who are pregnant, adolescent girls who are pregnant. We can take, we have another men's center that's a little bit larger facility than ours. We have a teen center for boys ages 13 to 17. And I don't know if you've ever seen a 13-year-old boy, but they're babies and they're struggling with addiction. And we've got a place for them. Right down in Arizona, we've got an adolescent girls center. We've got a family center in San Jose, which is almost one of a kind, where the entire family unit can come in and go through the program together, husband, wife, and children. And so we're blessed to be a part of this network and to be right here on your campus throughout the week.
Well, I just want to share a couple practical ways that you guys can get involved. The biggest thing is prayer. Just like this morning when everything's going a little frantic, that's pretty much our life on a daily basis. So, you know, schedules don't work out. Something comes up. A student has, you know, a crisis. Just every day there's something that we're walking through, working through. So just those prayers. David calls it a frontline ministry. We're right there fighting these battles alongside our students. And, you know, our family itself has had its share of challenges and attacks since we've been here. So just to know that there's churches and there's individuals just lifting our family up, our center up, the students up, their families up. That's just a huge blessing to know that that's out there. Also, just we need men to come by the center and just speak into the guy's life, just share their experiences with life, share their stories of overcoming different things. Just coming in and mentoring the guys. They love to see anyone's face pop in the door and just kind of show them that they're important. And outside of that, just everyday practical things. With a full house, especially a full house of men, we go through food very quickly. So, you know, maybe one night you just like to come cook a meal, or maybe you just saw something on sale and just picked up something extra. Food, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, all that stuff that your household uses, we use times 24. Those are just some practical ways that you can get involved.
And just like any other ministry, we have financial needs. We need money to keep the center opening. We're not a free program. It does cost something for our students to go through, but they never see that cost. I don't know very many drug addicts that can come onto my front porch and stand there with $2,200 and say, here's my first month's tuition. It doesn't work like that. When they're at their moment of need, they have nothing. The world has stripped them of everything, and our doors open. And so it's through monthly support, it's through donors, many of which are in this building right now, currently, that support us, that allow us to keep that door open for people to just come right in. You're going to hear a testimony in just a little bit about a young man that came from this church. We've got another guy sitting back here, Freddie. I don't see Freddie. Freddie right there in the bow tie. Freddie went up to this office just a few weeks ago, said, I need help. I need someplace right now. And on the phone, I was able to say, we're 1 mile away. Get him down here. I didn't ask, do you have $2,200? I said, get him down here right now. And he came in, and he's been a blessing to our ministry, and he's changing, and God is touching his life. So we thank you guys for your financial support. It's so important to the ministry. And I'm going to invite Vic up at this time.
Stay right here. Good stuff. Randy is so happy, as am I, to see this finally come true. And I want to tell you something. I mean this so respectfully, but these guys, this wonderful team, I say this very respectfully, almost like on a third world level, that they take so much and so little and make it so much. They stretch everything into something fantastic. And I just want you to know today that they have been a major blessing to this church. The facility is less than 6 blocks over, right off on Charleston. We're on 10th Street. They're on 9th Street. And they are here every day doing things for the church and working with me. I've had a personal blessing of teaching a bunch of them how to cook and all this different stuff and being involved with them. So do take Carrie's word. And if you don't want to be involved and do something, you can do so little, and it'll make such a difference. So right now, Pastor Randy would invite you all to join he and Pam, and myself and Sarah, in a very special love offering. If our ushers will come right now, we're going to take a special offering to help bless them. And if you would like to make a monthly pledge, it would be very much appreciated. You can't do better than this. And here's the thing I love also, David just said, when he talked to that person on the phone, right now, we can get that person. When a person is in need, when they're at that critical point, when they just right now are surrendering, their hands are in the air, that window's very limited. We have to be able to pick them up and take them someplace right now, because in just a couple minutes or just an hour, something can come and close that window. And folks, I don't know about you, but my family personally has struggled with drug addiction. I have lost 4 family members to drugs, one of them being my brother, right here, 5 blocks over. He died of a heroin overdose. And so this is really personal. And every one of us folks knows somebody that needs this yesterday. Amen? Amen. Point your hands towards this beautiful family here today. Lord, we love you so much. And we're not trying to motivate by guilt. We're just trying to motivate by reality, that people are dying. They're right here on our streets as we drive by them, Lord God. Our brothers, our sisters, our family members, Lord God, our dads, our moms, prescription medication. Things have been so sanitized and sterilized, but it's still drug addiction and abuse and alcoholism. And we thank you, Lord God, that a flag has been planted right in the heart of Las Vegas, 5 blocks off the Las Vegas Strip. A beautiful, beautiful facility is there 24 hours, Lord God. And we thank thank you for Teen Challenge. Pastor Randy, Lord God, he believes so deeply that this is something that needed to happen, and we're so grateful that it's happened right here in our neighborhood, right down the street from our church. Now, we love you, Lord God. You're so good. You're so wonderful. And right now, as we're praying, Lord God, for this, Lord God, I cry out, if there's a family member here today and you have somebody that needs help, you see us right away. Come right after this service, and we'll get them help. Now, we love you. Bless this beautiful gift. In your holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Amen. So how many of you guys believe that God wants to do something great in your life? That he's destined every single one of us for greatness? This is something that I talk to my Teen Challenge guys about all the time. God has a plan for you. God wants to do something great in your life. God can take something out of nothing and make it something that is so beautiful and so magnificent that your eyes couldn't even believe it. And, you know, over the last 2 years that I've been here in Las Vegas, I've had the privilege of surrounding myself with some pretty incredible men. You know, when I pray for these guys, I think about the greatness that I'm surrounded by. Several of them are right here in this room, right now. A couple of them aren't in this room today, but they attend this church. And let me tell you that it is such an honor to be able to rub shoulders with some of these guys, because they are living their life to its fullest potential. And I asked Jimmy a question the other day in his office, and we talked for, I don't know, about probably 30 or 40 minutes on it. I've got 15. But I asked him the question, what would our lives look like if we could live every single day to our fullest potential? It's different for all of us, but we know somewhere deep inside of us what our potential is. We see the people around us that we admire, and we wonder to ourselves sometimes, how can I achieve that? How can I get that greatness in my life? If God says that he has a plan and a purpose for this guy's life and this guy's living it out, why not me? How many of you guys have ever gone on vacation and the day before you leave for vacation, you're at work on a Friday, and you just get an incredible amount of work done because you know you're going to miss Monday through Friday the next week, and you got a ton to do. All of a sudden, those of us that don't prioritize anything, we've got a priority list, we've got goals set, we know exactly what we need to get done, and most of the time, we get it done before 5 o'clock. Because we're trying to get out of there, because we know that at 5 o'clock, it's vacation time. Now, I don't get to go on vacation once a month, but once a month, my family, we do travel up to Northern California for our director's meeting. And let me tell you, it's quite a process for me and my wife to get, we've got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, 2 daughters, 4-year-old, she's 4. It is quite a process to get out the door with those kids, I'm telling you. Like, we say every single month, we're going to be out the door at 8 o'clock so that we're not driving until, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And without fail, I mean, it's just the most difficult thing. But the day before, we come into work, we're focused, we've got our goals set, we know exactly what we need to do, and we accomplish so much. And the thought just popped in my mind one day when Jimmy and I were talking is, what if we could take that one day and multiply this passion, multiply the drive, multiply the intensity into a lifestyle? Because I'm telling you that the great people that I surround myself with every day, they didn't just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to stop being sluggish and I'm going to be great today. Greatness begins today. They worked for it. They put in the hours every single day. And that's the beautiful part about Teen Challenge and what we do. But let me let you guys in on something. Everybody else, unless we got mostly Teen Challenge people over here, a lot of them, we're all in the same boat as they're in. Every last one of us. Because we're all in a position to need a Savior. We're all in a position to need a little bit of help. We've all got to put in the same amount of work to achieve greatness. And these guys, some of them, they come from nothing. They come from the bottom of the bottom. They've hit their rock bottom. They've got nothing left. And when they come to me, I'm able to say, you know what? That was that. But let me show you what God can do. A lot of people mistake Teen Challenge as a drug and alcohol recovery program. We are not a drug and alcohol recovery program. We're a Christian discipleship program. We teach individuals that come to us how to have new patterns in their life. We help them discover new behaviors, new characteristics, the same behaviors, patterns, and characteristics that you and I display on a daily basis to be a Christian, to go to work, to wake up every morning, to take care of our families. Those same behaviors and characteristics is what we're teaching these guys every single day. And let me tell you, they're broken. They don't know what's going on sometimes. But when God saves them, when God begins to transform their life, we begin to see something that is so beautiful. It's hope. It's the hope that someday things will be better. It's the hope that all those broken dreams from long ago that we thought would never happen, those things we dreamed about as kids that were way bigger than anything that, you know, I want to be an astronaut. You know, and we pat them on the back and say, oh, yeah, you want to be an astronaut. Okay, good luck. But when we find Christ, when we come to know Christ, that's not so far off. That's not the craziest thing that I've ever heard. Because I know that when I found Christ and I began to have these visions of one day, you know, having a family and having kids and owning a home and cars and just the basic American dream. At that time, that was the furthest thing that could ever happen to me. I don't even know how to work. I can't even wake up on time. I can't even show up to my job on time. And when I do show up to my job on time, I can't even be sober. So God, how are you going to take this kid and make him a manager at Walmart? How are you going to take this kid and make him a worship leader in his home church? Make him a husband? Make him a father? How is this kid ever going to own a home or own a car? Because it's not me. It's God. And I know today I'm not using a bunch of Bible words or anything like that. I'm not much of a preacher. But today, when I use the word success and I use the word potential, I want you to know that I'm speaking to those of you that believe that you have a calling on your life. That believe that when God began a good work in you, that he was going to finish it, that he was going to see it to completion. And I don't care today if you've been a Christian for a week or a day, or if you've known Christ all your life, he's not done with you yet. He's not finished. Because your potential isn't fulfilled until he comes back again. Today, I'm speaking to those that believe that God has a plan and a purpose. Those that believe that he's ordered every single step. Before you were ever even born, before you were ever even thought of, God said, you. You're going to do something great. I've got every step lined out for you. And all I need you to do is stay on that straight and narrow. I need you to stay on that path, and I'm going to make everything line up for you because I've ordered these steps. You want greatness in life? Your steps are ordered. But you've got to be in the right place at the right time, taking the right step. It's called potential because we have free will. We have a choice. We can reach our potential or we cannot. That was the problem with me when I was 19 years old and found myself at the doorsteps of Teen Challenge. I didn't say yes to my potential. I knew God. People had prophesied over me in the past. I knew that I wanted to do something good with my life. I knew I didn't want to be a drug addict. But I wasn't saying yes to my potential. And that's why I ended up on the doorsteps of Teen Challenge. We can't expect success sorry, let me rephrase this. Expecting success without work is like waiting for a harvest that you haven't planted any seeds for. And as I was thinking about that quote, and I'm sorry I didn't write down who that quote was from, but as I was thinking about that quote, I started thinking about how insane we can be at times as Christians. The insanity, if insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, yet expecting different results, how many of us are insane? I don't see as many hands as I think would be the truth in this place right now. We do the same things over and over again. We get these patterns where we keep doing the same thing and we expect something different at the end. And then we get to the end and it's the same thing that it's always been and we're like, God, why? Do something different. It takes work. It takes something different. For the last 8 years prior to coming to Teen Challenge here in Las Vegas, I had left Teen Challenge. I had been there for 5 years working on staff, and there came a time when I felt like I needed to move on with my life. There were things that I knew God had promised me. There was potential that had not been reached yet, and I left Teen Challenge. You know, I wanted, like I told you, I wanted the house and the car and the kids and the wife and the dog and the cat and all that stuff. For 8 years, I was in Indiana going for all this stuff. And I got it. You know, we had a great life. But somehow in the end of all that, what I thought was my potential is to have that career job, to have all that stuff. And in the end, it's like, okay, God, I'm here. I've reached my potential. And God said, exactly, you reached your potential. And on one day, in one worship service, God asked me, are you ready to reach my potential? And that started our journey out here to Las Vegas. You know, I've really started to ask myself some different questions since that meeting with Jimmy. What if I could just master complete trust in God? No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what my situation is, no matter how I feel when I wake up in the morning, what if I could begin to just master complete trust in God in everything? How would my life look different? What if I could master obedience? And I'm not talking about the whole book, okay? I'm not trying to overwhelm anybody here. But I'm talking about obedience to the things that we already know we should be doing, the things that have already been asked of us, the responsibilities that already weigh on our shoulders. What if we were just to be able to master obedience? What if, and at this day, I'd just like one day of this, but what if I could master self-control? What if I could just take self-control by the horns and just, I am in complete control of my life. I'm in control of the way that I feel. I'm in control of the things I know I shouldn't be doing, but I keep doing. I'm in control of the things I know I should be doing, but I don't. And something inside of me is so strong, and I'm just able to take control of it. What if for one day I could just have complete self-control? What if I took full advantage of every opportunity that came my way? What if I wasn't sluggish about it? Or that seems like a lot of work. I don't want to get into that today. What if I made every minute count? What if I stopped wasting so much time in front of the TV? What if I stopped spending so much time on my cell phone? What would my life look like? What if I actually believed that the sky was the limit? And with God, all things are possible. How would my life be different? And let me tell you, that is the beautiful part about what we do in, I don't even want to say Teen Challenge, but in discipleship. In discipleship, we learn and we begin to see through other people's lives around us that this is possible. This is something that we can do. This is made available to us. But there's four things that we have to know. You have to know your strengths, and you have to know your weaknesses. In 1 Corinthians 12, God talks about, and I'm going to go through these quick so we can share a few testimonies, but in 1 Corinthians 12, God talks about the gifts. He's given each one of us gifts. Not the same gift, but different gifts. And we're given those gifts so that we can be good at something. One thing. Good at one thing. Maybe five things. I don't know. Depends on how talented you are at multitasking. But, you know, he wants you to be good at something. But then there are also places where we have weaknesses, and we have to recognize where those weaknesses are at. We find that in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, where he says, where you're weak, I'm strong. And that doesn't always mean that God makes me strong in my weak area, but sometimes in my weak area, he makes my wife strong so that my wife can come alongside me and be my strength in that weak area. Or maybe the person sitting next to you. We have to understand our passion. What is it that drives us? Where does our passion come from? In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it talks about how we're one body. A bunch of different moving parts, but we're one body. When we operate in our passion, when we do that one thing that we do well with excellence, the rest of the body is able to function. We have to know what's required of us. I'm telling you, in full-time ministry, to be a pastor, to be in full-time ministry, we have to know what's required of us. Because we have to be on point. We have to know what it takes to get this job done, and we have to be willing to do it. And we have to understand our own story. Every single person in this place today has a story. Everybody has a testimony. And let me tell you the important thing about a testimony is in Revelations it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So God, are you telling me that my testimony is as strong as the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Every single person in this place has a story. You've gone through something that God has allowed you to go through and brought you to the point that you're at today so that your life can affect somebody else's life. And when we can get to the place in our life where we understand what God's doing, where we understand that his potential is so much greater than anything we could ever imagine, we're going to shoot to the top. I look at this church right here, and I look at everything that's going on throughout the week. I look at City Impact Center. And it took a group of people that understood the potential and were willing to put in the work to make it happen. And I'm telling you, I don't know, sometimes maybe if you see it every day, you don't recognize the greatness, but let me tell you that right here on this campus, God has poured out greatness. Carrie and I have talked about it. Some of the churches in Indiana that we came from, if only one church in Indiana would do the type of ministry that's being done right here on this campus in our hometown, it would have changed the entire city. Can you imagine Las Vegas flipped upside down because of one campus? But that's the potential. That's where God is taking this campus. That's where God is taking Teen Challenge. That is why Carrie and I have been so passionate about being here every week, about partnering with this church. Because we know God's potential. One last verse as a few of my guys come up here real quick. In Isaiah 14:27, I was reading this morning. God's plan and his purpose is already set in motion. Who can mess with that? God's hand is reached out in your direction. Who can pull it back? Nobody. God's ball is already rolling, and we're on it. Nobody can stop us because we're headed towards his potential. And one of the most encouraging things that I get to do every single day is to spend time with these guys up here, because I know that I've seen what God has done in my life. I've seen what God's done in some of the lives around me, and I know their potential. I am sitting on the stage today with some of the greatest men of God that Las Vegas has ever seen, because I know their potential. I know where God can take them and what he can do through these three men right here, these other 18 some odd men sitting over here. So I'm going to invite at this time, we're just going to share a few testimonies with you. Joel's going to share first, and then Abraham and Michael.
My name is Joel. I'm from Orlando, Florida. My dad left the house when I was about 5 years old. So it was just my mom taking care of us. And by 10 years old, I started getting into trouble, suspended from school and stuff like that. By 13, I started getting arrested. Around 15 years old, I ended up getting shot and was still doing criminalistic things. Got sent away for about a year to a juvenile facility. Got out of that, and I was started dealing with drugs. And using drugs, I began selling drugs, and shortly after that, I started trafficking large amounts of it. And guns and women across state lines. My drug addiction got pretty bad, and I ended up overdosing. I was on life support for about 3 weeks, stuff like that. And God still had a plan for me, because I'm still here. I remember one time it was around the same time that I overdosed, I had gotten jumped by three people, and the mix of that, I remember I was lost so much blood that I was getting dizzy, and I thought I was gonna die, and I remember praying to God that you know, if I was gonna die, then that I was sorry, and yeah, he didn't let me die. I remember. As soon as I said those words, a guy stopped beating me up, and he brought me out of that. A few years later, my dad ended up dying, and I remember a buddy of mine's calling me up and telling me, "Hey, you got to get over here. You know, your dad's dying." And I really didn't want to believe it, so I hung up the phone on him, and. He called back the phone again, and eventually I got up and went to where they were at. I made it there just in time to see them pulling the yellow blanket over him. And, you know, it took that kind of hard and sent me even deeper into my drug addiction. My brother ended up telling me about Teen Challenge, and I kind of shot it down because I wasn't looking forward to being in any kind of facility for a year. But after talking to me about it, you know, over and over again, I decided to give it a chance. So I called around and I found the Las Vegas Teen Challenge, and something brought me out here. It was God. Since I've been here, God's done some pretty cool things in my life. You know, I thought I knew God before, but all I really knew is that I didn't know nothing. And this place I thought was a drug rehabilitation center, but it was none of that, you know. It was strictly about the Bible and learning the Word of God. And that really showed me how to love myself and love everybody else around me. And I'm thankful for that. I was always, complaining to God because he never gave me any kids or anything like that. And now he gave me 60 kids. I go and I lead a youth group over there. I'm a leader at a youth group at one of the churches, and that's like an awesome thing for me. I couldn't really even believe that because, you know, here I am, this guy that was all messed up on drugs and stuff like that, and now he chooses me to come over here and lead these kids. The whole way that I pray has changed. I used to give God a whole grocery list of things and stuff like that I wanted, but I was not doing anything for him, but I still wanted him to make all this stuff happen in my life. And now, you know, it's more like where I just sit back and let him know how my day was. He already knows everything that happened in my day, but I still go through it and tell him. I fellowship with him now. He's done great things, and I couldn't be more thankful for what Carrie and David are doing out here in Las Vegas.
Hello, how you guys doing? Good morning. My name is Abraham. I grew up in Las Vegas. I'm 21 years old. I didn't have my mom around. She was into drugs and everything like that, so I never really met her at all. My father came around when I was like 6 years old for a couple years, and then he had left due to his gang affiliations. I was raised by my grandmother. Actually, she used to come to this church, for y'all know her, Eloise Ramirez. I was baptized actually behind these doors when I was about 8 years old, 9 years old. When I was 12 years old, she couldn't really handle me anymore. I was getting involved in like getting in trouble and everything like that, hanging out with the wrong people. So she sent me to a group home. And when I was at that group home, I started smoking marijuana and drinking and eventually the other drugs. When I was 18, I decided to leave the program on my own free will. The group home, you can say, my own free will. I thought I had it all together. I thought I was just gonna go out there, get a job, get my own place to stay, and everything was gonna be right. I would eventually become rich, supposedly. That was my thoughts. I went back to my grandmother's house, and she wasn't accepting me because she knew the things I was getting into. Like, I was 18 now, so the lifestyle I was getting deeper in. Me and my brothers moved into a little condo, whatever you call it, studio. And we started partying pretty much every single day. Got kicked out of CSN. Couldn't go there no more. Then I eventually ended up homeless for a little bit. My brothers didn't really want to help me out with anything. They couldn't take care of me. I was already an adult. I got to take care of myself and figure it out myself, you know. The only one that was there was God. He was leading me still in his direction, saying pretty much call on me. You know, I'll give you your needs. I'll give you your wants. And I'll make sure you're safe and everything. I ended up coming back to Trinity one day, I spoke with Pastor Jimmy and Aretta, I remember Pastor Jimmy introduced me to Teen Challenge, since being in Teen Challenge, it saved my life. Well, God saved my life first, but he led me here to go to Teen Challenge, and David and Carrie, you know, having somebody that actually cared for you and, you know, want to help you change your lives, it's an amazing experience. You know, I never really had that growing up. I thank you guys so much for that, too. I really do appreciate that. Now I'm building back my relationship with God, getting my alone time with him, and actually seeing, you know, all the amazing things that he can do. We go out there and do outreaches for people. And one of the best feelings is when God gives you those gifts and you learn those gifts that you have and you go out there and start telling about God and speaking the truth, you know, and helping people be on God's side. It's one of the best feelings you ever feel, you know, like you get super happy. I know for sure that when I was doing all the gang stuff and drugs and everything, that I was scared. I wasn't trusting of anybody, you know. I never wanted to go anywhere without watching my back. Don't know who can come upon you or anything. But now I know I'm safe. I'm in a safe place. God's there with me. I don't have to be scared of anything, anybody no more. And that's truly a blessing. And I'm so grateful for that. The scripture that I have, you know, I used to be addicted to money, and my brother over here, actually Joel, he helped me out with that. Like, you know, I used to talk to him all the time, still do, and he told me, you know, your problem's money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you talk about money 24/7, and I was like, man, no, I don't think so. And then when I actually started learning more about God and then this discipleship program, I've learned that it was money was probably one of my biggest struggles. Probably was my biggest struggle. I wanted it every day. And the scripture I have is Proverbs 23:23. It says, buy the truth and don't sell it. And also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And to me, that means we don't buy our way into heaven. That's for sure. We go out there and we do good works for people, you know, do good works for God, serve God. And that's how we get into heaven, by accepting his grace and doing what he wants for you, following Jesus' footsteps. And once you do that, you have eternal life in heaven, and that's the greatest prize there is, way better than money can ever afford.
Hi, my name is Michael, and I'm 22 years old. I'm from Neosho, Missouri. That's where I was born and raised, and I grew up, and, you know, I remember at a really young age, you know, about 3, 4, 5 years old, I remember having great memories with my family, with my father, going camping, going fishing, and stuff like that. And then at about 6 years old, I couldn't see my father anymore, and I got scared. Here I am young, I can't even multiply, do nothing in life yet, and I don't have anybody to guide me, so I felt lost, I felt unloved, I felt unwanted, and I felt abandoned. And, you know, that created a huge void and a huge tear in my life that I tried to fill, and it all started, you know, at the age of 8, whenever I started doing sports. You know, I thought the affection and, you know, gratitude, if you will, from others would be able to fill it. But that shortly weared off because coaches started picking favorites, and I wasn't one of them. So I felt pushed off to the side, and, you know, once again, I just felt unwanted and abandoned. And so shortly after that, about 13 years old, I started smoking marijuana and drinking, and I was the first guy in my grade to get arrested. I got arrested at 13 years old, and I went to juvenile hall. And I still kept doing drugs and partying. And, you know, school to me was more for the fundamentals and getting popularity and stuff like that. But nothing was filling this void. And about 16 years old, I thought that the love of a girl, you know, would be the thing to do it, because, I mean, all of a sudden, all right, I felt great, but then things got tough. I went later on down the road, and I wasn't even me anymore. I was, as he had said, you know, before we were saved, you know, we walked in insanity, we walked in darkness, blind, and just kept the same cycles going. And I turned away even her love, still for the affection of others and still for drugs. And I wasn't even me anymore. There was a beast that done rose up in me and held me down. I was lost and I was scared. Shortly after that, because our relationship, you know, was no more, I did meth for the first time at 17 years old. And shortly after that, I was dealing and doing meth all at the same time, supporting a habit. I mean, all in this process, I've had four cars before. I've had my own place and stuff like that. But, I mean, just everything went to waste because I didn't have any guidance. I was walking in insanity. But then one day at a park, while I was still sitting alone, feeling unwanted, unloved, and abandoned, not knowing where my life was going to go, not knowing where my life was going to or how my life was going to turn out to be, there God stood. He brought some people along with the divine appointment, especially for me, and that forever changed my life. Shortly after that, about 3 months after that, I got into Teen Challenge because he called me here. He called me here for a purpose and a reason. And so now, you know, going through the program, I've done away with the old me. I walk for Christ now, and I walk in the light, and I seek him first constantly. As it says in Matthew 6:33, seek him and his kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. We seek him, and we follow him. And that's a law. We got to seek him first. We got to seek what he has for us first. And then that'll go straight into Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." See, I don't necessarily have to be the richest person. I don't have to have everything in the world. But I do have great people. I get to volunteer my time, and I have an internship under these two great leaders who do nothing but pour their hearts out to each and every one of these guys. And these guys are my everything as well. I love each and every one of these guys because I never thought that God would use a man like me who was so dark and so lost to shine the light on these men who are trying to try to seek the Lord and the future that he has for them as well. But I want to give you one last scripture, and that is Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory." Now, I read that because it's not even about me anymore. It's not even about Teen Challenge. It's not about David and Carrie. It's all to bring glory to God. Amen. As David said, there are several gifts. Find your gift. It can be the simplest little act of kindness, and you could direct somebody right there to Jesus Christ and forever be the person who stepped and intervened and changed their life. Thank you.
Amen. I remember 3 years ago standing on the stage at Victory Christian Center in Indiana, and we were leading worship, and I looked out across the congregation, and at the time, Carrie and I knew that we were coming to Las Vegas, and my eyes locked with the church secretary, and Carol, you just happen to be right in front of me here, so I'm looking at you. My eyes kind of locked with the church secretary, and God began to give me a vision of a lady sitting on the streets here in Las Vegas, and she was in her addiction. She was at her lowest point. She was sitting there just hurt, broken, destroyed by the world. And God said, "You still have," I don't remember how many months at the time it was, but several months. "You still have several months before you're going to get to Las Vegas. But that lady sitting there, she's waiting for you. She's the next church secretary. She's the next Karen that was our church secretary. She's the next Carol. She's the next prayer warrior. She's the next person that's going to rise up in this church and be just the person that we need to fulfill God's full potential." And when I started looking at people through the eyes of Christ that way, I can't look at an addict the same anymore. I can't look at somebody struggle the same anymore. Because I know that that is only temporary. I know God's potential. And this morning, if there's anything that I can leave you with, is that everybody has potential. Everybody in this room plays a part with the person sitting next to you. And if we're not all doing our part, this can't happen. It takes all of us. And so, thank you so much for having us out here to share with you. But if I don't leave you with this one last thing, I haven't done my job today. How many of you today are going to take a look at your potential? How many of you today are going to realize that God is not done with you yet? That showing up at church on a Sunday morning is not enough. We have more potential than that. God wants to do something more. And so this morning, as Jimmy comes up, I want us to pray over this church, over this property, and everything that goes on here, including Teen Challenge. And I'm expecting that God will continue to help this church, to help Teen Challenge reach our full potential, because I'm telling you, I didn't come here to just have a men's center. That's not good enough for me. I came here to change Las Vegas.